episode 320.
Actually, two of my previous technicians have decided that ownership was their next step, and they're both very successful, and I'm so proud of both of them.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Welcome, aftermarketers, throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, bringing you an in-depth interview with another member of the Woman in Auto Care, shop owner Kathleen Jerozik from Expert Tech Auto Repair in Englewood, Florida. This is episode 320. Hey, so glad to have the support of Federal Mogul Motor Parts. They're the reason you enjoy these great aftermarket interviews. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. The brands, you know them, Felpro, Moog, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Get more information and exciting programs at fmmotorparts.com. And thank you for supporting these brands. You know, I love hearing from you, especially when you write and tell me that there was a special interview that got you to change or make a big move in your business or in your life. I read every email and enjoy every one of them. Now, if you need a recommendation on a special group of podcasts or even to help you toward your goals, don't hesitate to reach me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. That's B-I-Z. I encourage you to download my free listening app. It's at the App Store or on Google Play. Search for Remarkable Results Radio and download it. Within minutes, all of the episodes at your fingertips. Use your earbuds while exercising or Bluetooth to your vehicle during your commute. Yes, hey, turn off the news and turn on Aftermarket Talk Radio. The network of connected listeners builds every week, and I'm honored to have new Facebook friends, J.S. Palmer, Alan Fee, Maria Ferranto, Chelsea Fry, Moyer Motorcar, and Jason Hyde. And my latest LinkedIn connections, Elite Auto Repair, Benjamin Gatewood, and Jim Fry. Hey, welcome all. Find the podcast social links at remarkableresults.biz/social. Now, meet Kathleen Jerozik, owner of Expert Tech Auto Repair in Englewood, Florida. Kathleen has made some big strides in her business, and she's excited to talk about it. I had first met Kathleen at a women's in auto care meeting in Orlando a few years back, and she told me that she was working hard at reinventing and fixing her business. She says she is on the right track and has come a long, long way. She shares what she's done to make improvements, what she loves to do in the business, her very interesting story about her lead tech, her e-myth move to working on the business, and how the snowbirds from the north change her business each and every year. Much more in this very personal story. See Kathleen's bio, the talking points, and her business profile at remarkableresults.biz/E320. Now listen up for another in-depth story from one of your aftermarket colleagues. Now meet Kathleen Jerozik. A warm welcome to Kathleen Jerozik from Expert Tech Auto Repair in Englewood, Florida. Hello, Kathleen.
Hello, Carm.
We met, I think, 3 years ago.
Yes, at the Women in Auto Care Conference in Orlando.
In Orlando. And at that time, you said to me, I have nothing to share with your listeners. And I respected that because, of course, you would only know. And then, presto, we're here because you have some stuff to share.
Yes. That conference actually totally inspired me to drive to be better. So,
and I want to hear about that. So what was your biggest takeaway from that? What made you cross the line?
I guess to sit with a whole room of other women in the industry and especially the other shop owners and letting them know or hearing them share how successful they are and how they've grown their businesses and what they did to get there. And it really just sounded like something I could absolutely handle. So I decided it was time to take the next step.
And what was that next step?
I started to reach out to Management Success had contacted me and done a presentation, and it just seemed like a little bit much for me to be able to pull off at the time. So I had met a gentleman from New Mexico, Jim Deerholt, at the NAPA convention in Vegas in 2015. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, if you ever need anything or have any questions, give me a buzz. So I called him in a panic. And he gave me the phone number of Dan Cricks from Great Results Marketing.
Got it.
And started with him. And then I eventually ended up with Repair Shop of Tomorrow and Dave Justice and those guys. And it's just been a, it's been a whirlwind.
So basically it was a trek to find yourself a mentor or business coach.
Absolutely. And ever since this, hands down, the best decision I've made.
I hear it over and over and over again. And thank you for confirming it. You were in business with your husband?
Yes.
Interesting.
I was.
But you were the owner, or you were partners?
No, we were partners. We both owned the business. And in 2009, we divorced. So we decided that he would leave and I would buy him out. Wow. So I did that and learned that's really where my career started. I did the background bills and accounting and the payroll system, all of that from, you know, I spent maybe 15 to 20 hours a week in the shop, if that. And so once that occurred, I was a permanent fixture, 40 hours a week.
What a big, bold move. 15 hours, you know, working in the shop and you say, I'm buying you out. And then obviously when I met you in 2015, I think it was in Orlando, you as you have just described, you were struggling, you needed some help. So you really bit off a lot, but you're thankful you did it.
Oh, absolutely.
And now I have to tell the audience something else that I know is that the husband left and then he came back to work in the shop.
Yes, it's been almost a year.
Wow. That's all I can say.
And not as a partner. He right. is a regular paid. He is my lead technician, and he is a regular paid employee and really likes it that way because he never really cared for the stress of being a shop owner. And so I have all the stress and he gets the benefit.
Got it. I just find it fascinating. I've yet to hear a story like that. And I just hope it works out as well as you possibly can make it work. So what about the reputation of the shop? What are you doing to build it and to keep it strong?
You know, I think our number one key that sets us, I wouldn't say apart from everyone else, but what we really focus on is the customer engagement process.
All right.
We build the relationships. We have discussions. We have a very comfortable waiting room. I feel like I'm standing out. I encourage people to wait for, especially for shorter services. I have one employee in the front office, Jamie, at the moment, and she is fantastic. She really is very personality-wise. She's very similar to myself. Hiring her was that's where I really started to be able to work on instead of in the business. But we really take the time to interact and get to know our clients and build that relationship. I think that's so important, especially in a competitive market like this.
So when you sit in your front office, you know this is what women want.
Yes, absolutely. At least I hope I'm hitting it right.
What do you got in there that makes it special?
When we did the remodel, I spent probably 2 months going from store to store to store, shopping for comfortable chairs and a nice sofa that obviously won't show dirt. Not leather. I wanted cloth because Florida gets awful hot down here, so you stick to leather. And the height is important. Our community is a predominantly retired community, so we have a lot of people with hip and knee replacements. So getting in and out of chairs and up and off of a sofa is a very big deal to them. So I sat on maybe, I would say, a good 300 couches before I picked the right one.
Wow.
To make sure it was comfortable, but we have people take naps in our office.
Very, very good. Well thought out.
Yes, I just wanted it to feel, I want people to walk in and say, man, this feels like my living room. And I feel like we've really accomplished something spectacular when that does happen. And it has. So
I love how you really totally figured that out. Hey, if you had to step aside, would your organization crumble?
No, it would probably falter after a little bit of time. But that's my goal, is to get it to run autonomously without me.
Great goal. Now, did that come because you had a mentor telling you, you know, that you had to work on your business, not in it?
Somewhat. I think it kind of naturally evolved into that. Nobody actually looked at me and said, you know, you really can't work in it. You have to work on it. It was a very slow progression. Maybe you should hire a part-time customer service representative. to, you know, help you a little bit. And I thought, I can do that. And then I very quickly realized I needed a full-timer. And then it's been in the last 3 months, actually, that I have found that when I go in the office and help, I create more problems than I actually solve.
Oh, wait a minute. I know it now. I hear it coming. Kathleen, don't you have something else to do?
Yes, exactly. I got fired from the front desk. and now that's what I tell my clients. They can still see me. I have a little office window that they can see me, but they talk to Jamie when they walk in, and I just tell them that I'm a figurehead, and I just stand, I sit and wave, never above the crown.
The queen.
And yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and it works out really well. So people still feel like they're dealing with me, but she does all things important, is what I tell them. So.
Well, you deserve an awful lot of credit for being a good leader and empowering Jamie, right, Jamie?
Yes, she's fabulous.
To do the things that you hired her to do, and you're letting her do it. I mean, that's what it's all about.
It is, really. I mean, giving her the freedom to make choices, I know that she will make a choice if I am not there based on how she feels I would make that decision. And, you know, she's been with me about 2 years now, and I think maybe twice I would have handled it possibly differently, but I'm 100% behind her and her decisions because I'm never in that moment. She is in it.
Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented Preston cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. Would you call what happened to you in the last 3 to 4 years trial by fire?
Absolutely.
Did you get burned on anything bad?
I've had huge issues with technicians. I will tell you that is a big challenge for me. I don't come from the automotive background, so I can't fix a car. So we've had some struggle with technicians will get in, get comfortable, and then just decide they don't feel like producing. Feel like they, I would say like they have me pressed into a corner that I can't get out of. So I would say that's my biggest failure as a leader is that I'm not strong enough on that side of it. So that's I try to study, pay attention, learn as much as I can.
What are your peers saying about that knowledge gap? Are they saying, don't worry, if you're a good leader, you can get through that?
That's what most people tell me. you know, and to put the right people in the right place. And I think now that I have Dean there as my lead technician, he's a good leader, but his ego is not the size of the state of Alaska. So that is very, very helpful because he's about the team, and rather than just about his, the team in the shop as a whole is his goal for success, not just him.
I like what I'm hearing. I'm hearing about a good culture.
Yes, we have a great culture. We really do. I will tell you, yesterday, we were very, very busy. Our seasonal people are getting ready to go north after Easter. So this is our super, super, you know, nose to the grindstone month. And there was no talking from the shop at all. No cutting up, no them shouting back and forth at each other, giving each other a hard time. And I thought, wow. We are really busy, and if they're not at least giving each other a little bit of a hard time, you know, and they're still helping each other out. But no, we have, I'm so blessed that we have such a good crew that the mix is very good. If we've brought in techs that don't have the same moral, internal direction that we all have, it sorts itself out usually fairly quickly, and they don't last, or they don't make it through the interview process.
Well, that's the key. I mean, are you hiring slow then?
Yes.
Are you taking your time?
Yeah, we haven't had a ton of turnover. I would say I probably have about a 5-year shelf life on most technicians before they decide that there's a better place for them to go. And or actually, two of my previous technicians have decided that ownership was their next step. Okay. And they're both very successful. And I'm so proud of both of them. We're not close in proximity, you know, and they have their own specialties that they're really good at. One is mobile and the other one is in a land location. So
we talked about that in a town hall just a bit ago, becoming the employer of choice. And part of the discussion that came out was that many of us entrepreneurs that own shop need to be a ladder of success for some of our people. And, you know, they're going to leave. And then finally, so many young people need to become owners because the boomers are going to need replacements out there. And if they don't buy other shops, we've got to have independent locations open for cars to be repaired at. And did you ever help them in any mentoring type way at all when they left?
I would say afterwards. Unfortunately, in this business, I find that it seems that not a lot of people are supportive as far as owners go to, you know, let them grow and then launch them out of the nest on their own. I'm not really sure why that is, but I'm always very encouraging. So both times that happened, it was not usually an amicable split, but within, I would say 30 to 90 days, I would get phone calls or emails. So
we need to change that.
I agree.
Let me give you a scenario. There's a shop 5 miles down the road, and you know of them, and you know parts people talk, tool vendors talk, and you know that, hey, look it, I don't need a $60 an hour person down the road chasing to the bottom. I need someone down that road to be successful. Would you ever, in keeping with the vein that you said that we need to change the fact that we need to help each other, would you ever just pick up the phone, call that person and say, hey, Kathleen down here, let's have coffee?
Sure, why not? Inglewood is I don't want to call it super unique, but it's a very small town. So I've noticed a lot of shop owners aren't willing to really communicate with each other. We've tried to get shop owner groups together and some will just not participate, and that's okay. But there are a few of us that are super open and willing to communicate with each other, and hopefully we create a culture eventually that draws the rest of them in.
Don't you think that people think that there's a secret sauce that they don't want to give away?
I guess. I feel like there's enough cars and clients out there for all of us if we're doing a good quality job.
And the bottom line is, and you talk to people that are at the top of the heap, experts in this industry, very successful, they say there's no secrets. It's just about hard work, being a good leader, having a good culture, finding really
Absolutely.
Great teams, and developing relationships with customers. There are no secrets in our industry. And the more we share, the more we help each other, the more we mentor and coach, the better this industry is going to be. And that seems to be, you know, there's a lot of bottom lines in all the interviews that I've done And so many of them, one of them is that the most successful that I've ever discovered have, you know, found a business coach, sometimes too late in their business cycle, and they finally turn themselves around. But the other is helping, is wanting to get and help the and grow the independent side of the business and keeping us strong. So processes in your business, anything recently you worked on to improve?
We have always struggled with the shop workflow. So little one steps at a time. We are taking little baby steps to increase efficiency and ARO and car count. I would say our most recent struggle that I am working the most on is doing repair order audits to try to figure out why our effective labor rate and average repair order are so low. We're busy. We have the sweet spot cars. Why is the ARO and the ELR so low?
What are you finding out?
I'm finding that some of my techs are too busy to do a quality inspection. I have had the Auto Vitals DVI available since October, I would say.
That must mean you're not implemented yet.
No.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, they dip into it. When we have time. So my summertime goal when we are slower and less hectic is to get that fully implemented. So I would say my goal is by November, because that's when everybody starts coming back.
Well, that's really going to change a lot then.
I agree 100%. I think that will be so much better for my service advisors. And that's kind of how I've started to approach it, to be honest, is rather than coming from a profitability or a increased paycheck for them, is to turn it around to say, you know, the time that it takes my service advisor to get a client, get that job sold and discuss with a client what's wrong, what's going on, is significantly increased and it would be significantly decreased if she had a digital thing that she could email or text or send and get that fast response from people. So
I have this wild thought, and that's just the kind of person that I am. What I just heard you say, I've done a lot of interviews on digital vehicle inspections, and all you have to do is go to my website, find the word tag cloud, click on the DVI. Not only take a look at what's there, and there's some really great interviews and roundtable on DVI, but once you listen to one of that or two of them, get your techs and service writer to listen too, so that they can, I'm sure they have an idea of what to expect, but listen to the implementation challenges that exist out there. And then, you know, and then the beauty is somebody says, would you ever go back? Never. And, you know, they just so encourage people to make the big, bold move, get there and do it. So that's my free gift to you. Go out and check them out and get implemented. So you say you're a cyclical business because all of us northerners come down. You call them snowbirds, right?
Yes, we call them snowbirds or politely seasonal residents.
Because yeah, I live in an area that everybody goes to Florida and when they come back, April?
Usually wherever Easter falls.
Just after Easter or before?
Usually it's right before they start heading out and they want to be home for Easter. So
what happens to the business? I mean, do you lose 50% of your volume?
I lose 50% of our population cuts in half. It's like having two customer bases, to be honest.
Okay.
People that live locally, I usually do not see them all winter long because we are all so busy working and doing our things because all of the seasonal people are here, that we all start to come out in the summertime. Most of us that live here don't go to dinner, we don't go out.
Are you telling me that you hibernate for...
we reverse hibernate, we do. we are just so busy with all of the population that is here in the winter that we're too tired after to go anywhere or wait an hour for dinner on a Tuesday night, so... So come summertime, I have a totally different set of clients that I see all summer.
Wow. Well, that's good. So you've got an all-year-long business, no matter if the snowbirds are there or they're not. Kathleen, do you have a scorecard? How do you measure your success?
I don't. I will tell you that is something I currently struggle with, like the conversation we had a few years ago, is sitting down and really looking at what success is and what it looks like. You know, I have more free time to spend with my family, so I call that a success. As far as KPIs, I'm just starting to learn to really look at the number success of the shop. And that is posing to be a very big challenge for me.
Are you excited about what the future holds as you become ingrained in the numbers? And I don't mean it's not always about numbers, because it's good to hear that you have got a great culture. But are you excited about being able
absolutely.
To pull the right levers?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So my thought is the more successful and profitable I can make the shop, the more I can give back. I know that that's not what I hear from a lot of the old school shop owners that I grew up. I mean, my former husband has been in the automotive industry since I met him. So hearing and talking and listening to the shop owners that he's worked for over the years, the culture was always, it seemed, very greedy and me. And I'm not about that. You know, I would love to be financially successful so that I can give it back and share it with my community. And honestly, goal-wise, once my youngest daughter is off to wherever life takes her, college, culinary, trade school, wherever she ends up, I want to be able to give it back to the industry and go and teach classes, be a mentor, be a shop coach, and show people like me that it can be done, and it's simple but hard.
So you're in training for that.
Yes, absolutely. And it excites me more than anything.
That's a great goal and a vision to have. Wow. So two teenage daughters at home, and I see you have them in a picture on your website, and it's really a great yes. mom and daughter's shot. I love that. And
it
got me a sense of family that's what the business was about. And the other thing I noticed is that, man, are you ever a big marketer?
Yes.
Man, are you ever a big marketer? So my question is the referral program working? Is the car club working? Is the monthly newsletter working? Is the free timing belt offer working? I couldn't stop seeing all the great offers you had.
Well, I will say probably the best piece of marketing I do every month is the newsletter.
Okay.
I have more traction with that, and it's really got very little automotive involved in it. There's usually a recipe mm-hmm. and a word search or a crossword, yeah. and you know, it's a feel-good fun piece that I send to approximately 1,200 snail mail clients, and I just recently implemented emailing it out to my entire database. Which that has gone over really, really well.
Are you doing Are you doing snail mail and email?
Yes, some people get both. I pull a list every month of who gets it snail mail. I have some clients that request it, but you know, they have to meet a certain criteria to be on the list, and it's always the same 1,200 to 1,300 people.
But what's the criteria? I mean, is it spend?
Really, spend is very little part of it. Have they been there in the last 18 months?
Okay. It's a relationship thing.
It is. It's a relationship.
You're not
thing.
Looking for the transactional customers to love to death. You just want the ones that trust and care about your relationship.
Yeah. When I pull my list, I use NapaTrax. So when I pull the list, I pull anybody who's been in the last 18 months plus that's spent $250 or more collectively. So I mean, that's a pretty broad brush.
Yeah,
that's the not one time and out oil change people. But I feel like that pretty confidently covers everyone else. Then I will add the new clients that I've had over the last, you know, 30 to 60 days, 30, 60, 90 days usually. I'll add them to the list just to make sure that they're in, because they're potentially people that'll make that list. And eventually they'll drop off if they don't come in. So
are you doing the newsletter? Are you contributing to it? Someone doing it for you?
That is part of my Repair Shop of Tomorrow group. We contribute our personalized sections to it. They're really a one-stop shop. They do the coaching, the website, the newsletter, the marketing. I'm trying to think of what else they really incorporate. Then we have a mastermind meeting twice a year, and we're all in pretty regular contact with each other.
Was the referral program, did it come from them, or was that yours?
Actually, I went to RLO. I went to their all group meeting in Vegas and met Pit Crew Marketing there and decided to try this referral program myself. So that's one piece I've kind of branched off and decided to throw in the mix on my own.
How's it working?
We just started implementing it about 2 weeks ago, and clients are really receptive to it. They seem to be really happy. So long term, I probably won't have a lot of results for a few months, especially with the seasonality of our client base. So
love to know about it. Let me know how that's working. And the car club, working like you anticipated?
Yes and no. I think the car club is a wonderful tool to use. I have a lot of really good clients that are on it. I'm actually in the market to expand my service advisor side. I need to add either a full-time customer service rep or a service advisor because Jamie is just too overwhelmed to inform people about the car care club. But I believe if she had more time, it would be it's a very good customer retention tool for sure.
You pay $99.97, I believe, to join the club.
Yes.
And you get all kinds of value for it.
Yes.
Strategy behind that is just to keep them engaged and hooked to the shop?
Yeah, so that we have some service centers locally that will that market a $9.95 oil change. And that's the dealership. One of the dealerships locally does that on a pretty regular basis. $9.95, $19.95. No matter what you do, that's a loss leader all day. So I feel like the Car Care Club is my insurance against that. They'll say, you know, they'll just throw that coupon right in the trash because they already have four free oil changes with me.
Four free oil changes.
Yes, that's that four free synthetic blend oil changes with a filter come with that Car Care Club, plus the other discounts. But most people don't even use those.
You're giving a hell of a value. Wow. Well, I hope that works for you. Now, also tell me about the free timing belt. I mean, when I looked at that, I said, okay, I'm knowing what it's costing you. And, you know, it's, to me, a very interesting program.
Yeah, that is also a Repair Shop of Tomorrow marketing piece that we do. And it is the free timing belt. Basically, you pay the labor, of course, and the belt is free. Obviously, our shop does always recommends the whole kit, you know, water pump, timing belt, tensioner, seals, pulleys, whatever's in there. And most of the time, people go with that. So to offer the belt back, just the belt is what I credit back to the client. So if I can provide a little relief and get them some preventative maintenance done, it's revenue generated, I feel, that wouldn't have been there before.
And so Jamie will use that and sell that as an opportunity at the counter?
Oh, yes, 100%. From the marketing pieces, and really, like I said, the newsletter is a huge piece of this. We have had tons of clients. I don't have the number in front of me, but just come in and ask about the free belts. Can you please check and see if I need free belts? Or we're also doing serpentine belts and radiator hoses at the same time. So it's timing belt and belts and hoses.
I saw that. Very generous, but an interesting idea, an interesting marketing idea. Thanks for sharing that. You told me that Jamie, your service advisor, is your director of WOW.
Yes. She is. We discussed this when we were in Biloxi in I think it was November, August. We went to the Napa Southeast Convention conference in Biloxi, and I brought her with me. And somebody asked me that very question. And then, why is she your director of WOW? And I said, well, because she delivers the WOW factor. She does check-in clients. She makes appointments. You know, all of the standard things that customer service and service advisors do. But she also constantly has snacks and gets people cups of coffee, make sure that if we had a lady that got her car towed in maybe a month ago now, and she slipped getting on the tow truck and ran her leg down the step side and had torn her skin, blood thinners. So she was bleeding, and Jamie grabbed the first aid kit and sat down and got her all bandaged up. You know, she delivers that wow factor to each and every client that come in the door. You know, snack, can I get you some grapes? Do you want some cantaloupe? How about a cup of coffee or some sparkling water? She is just absolutely fabulous at reading people and talking and engaging all of the clients. So that is why she's my director of WOW.
That's cool. That is great that she has that level of commitment. So she's really a people person.
Absolutely.
Did she come from the industry, or did you find her outside?
She came from a client recommendation, actually. Her aunt was in the shop one day, and she'd been a client for a really long time. And I had the part-time customer service rep, and she said, you know, if you ever need anybody full-time, I have the perfect person for you. And I said, well, actually, I am in the market for a full-timer. My CSR at the time could not go full-time. And I said, I'm actually really in the market. So she had worked at the local Ford dealership and had gotten laid off maybe 2 or 3 weeks prior. And she worked for JP Cycles down in on the east coast of Florida. And back in her younger days, when she was married, she worked in a shop with her husband in Pennsylvania. So she had some automotive background, just enough to make it perfect. But what I liked about her the most when she walked in the door, I didn't look at her resume. I didn't know that she had worked at JP Cycles. I didn't know that she had worked for another shop up north. I spoke to her. We had a 15-minute conversation and I made her a job offer. Because I just knew we were so similar personality-wise, except she's a little more edgy than I am, which is good. I'll give the place away. She will not.
I hear that all the time. Get off the counter. Get off the counter so that doesn't happen.
Yes, absolutely. And so she's just fabulous. So
I heard you say something. You hired her after a 15-minute interview. So that must mean that your gut or your intuition is good.
I sure hope so. She's been amazing so far.
But have you used your intuition and your gut to help you run the business in making decisions?
Oh, absolutely. My last lead technician, although a wonderful guy, couldn't handle change. And so once I started this growth process with the mentors and the coaches, our relationship came to a very quick end. Change was not good for him, and I change constantly. If this doesn't work, well, let's try that. And if I fail at this, well, let's try that. And, you know, I'm about getting back up and fighting for it because winning is fun.
Yeah. We hear a lot of stories about finally finding the right group of people to work together, and you're all on the same page. Michael Gerber wrote to the E-Myth. He said 80% of all small businesses fail in the first 5 years. So what's your secret?
Faith. That's the only secret I can tell you. The first five that I had it alone, I went solely by faith that the three people, including myself, I had two techs and myself that worked there at the time. And the three of us believed in each other. They believed in me. I believed in them. And we made it work. And it's grown into this amazing entity of its own. It really humbles me on a daily basis that I'm so blessed some days. I don't know how it happened. I just know that it did.
Any regrets along the way?
Not getting a coach sooner.
Wow, I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Other than that, no. Every failure has taken me one step closer to the next success.
You know, I always ask people, you know, what's the best advice they've ever been given? And I want to turn that question around a little bit. You have any great advice to give?
Don't give up. Fight. I never had goals. You know, I just kind of was a fly by the seat of the pants girl. And honestly, when I went to the Women in Auto Care, I saw people with goals and how important that was. And that was the inspiration. And so I encourage my daughters as well to pursue what makes them happy. And I've always lived by the day that my feet hit the floor in the morning. And I say, man, I don't want to go to work. And I feel that in my soul is the day that I need to put the for sale sign up and walk away. And, you know, 14 years later, I'm still here. So,
what wakes you up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Nothing. No, I sleep all night.
Where do you get your giant thoughts?
The people that inspire me the most on a daily basis are my kids. I never want to have to look at them for a real, honest, true request and have to say no. So I work really, really hard, really, really passionately so that I can provide an example, but be the means for them to do, be, and go wherever, as whoever they are and want to be.
The last road trip you took with the girls.
Man, that's tough. We haven't taken a road trip in a long time.
Well, maybe you should.
Yeah, that would be fun. We get to go to California and visit my brother once a year. And so we usually explore there. We did play tourist in San Francisco last year in November was so fun. The Big Red Bus Tour. And,
oh, yeah. Okay.
It was a blast. We had such a good time.
Kathleen, the latest book you read.
I am actually reading a book called Mom BA right now. I actually think it's in my car. We got it at the Women in Auto Care Conference. It is fantastic.
What's it about?
It is about having a mom that is a CEO of a company. The advice that she gave her daughter growing up. They didn't, you know, just chit-chat mildly in the car. They played the interview game. So I can relate because I do that with my kids. We do silly, everything has some kind of learning base to them. Well, when they were little, especially. We played the letter game where, you know, you all animals and you have to come up with a letter and go through the alphabet or, you know, states or who knows, whatever random thing we pick. So, but it's a fabulous book. The one before that that I finished is Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey.
What a great book that is. One of my faves.
I think I need to crack that one open and go again.
So the learning culture inside the business, you paying for training? You letting them get there? What are you doing?
I pay and provide the opportunity for training. The culture in this previous group that I had for learning was not very good. This group, I give them the opportunities for, you know, all of our parts houses do their classes. And I'm fully willing to pay for that, for ASE testing, whatever they want to do.
Are they going?
Some classes they go to, some they do not. It seems to be getting better now that they're building a little culture between the three of them. They actually, they came to me just last week and said, oh, here, you gave me this list. We want to go to this class. And it's in April or May. It's local. And I said, okay, I will make sure that you guys have a pass to get there. Do you need anything from me? Will you need to leave early? What will you need from me to get there? Because the dean is very big, especially coming out of the dealership for GM, on training and education and staying up on that. He always has been, but that pushed him a little further. Andre, one of my other techs, just came from GM as well, so has the same mentality for training. It's my third guy that feels like he kind of doesn't, everything I know, I already know. So we're working on him.
Me too. I guess what we need to do is to, you know, sit down with him and says, you're in a profession that you have to be a perpetual student in because technology is swirling faster than the speed of life. And if you're going to want to work on some of these things and do it effectively and efficiently for me and you take on jobs, you know, that not every job is a major challenge. Many shop owners are writing in their job descriptions the number of hours that the techs need to get every year in training, keeping resumes on the classes that they went, of course, paying for full benefits and not hurting anyone if they have to take some time off to get to a class. Does that sound like, you know, a next evolution of a training culture at your place?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear all that. That's, you know, we're so big on that. We've done a lot of episodes on training. And I just did a great roundtable from three trainers in the industry from Standard Motor Products that's going to be coming out here in the next couple of months. Please watch for that. Any great wise words, quote, that you live by that you would share?
Well, I have a silly thing that hangs above my desk. I've had it since I was 12. And it says, at the top of it, it says, please. And then it says, do not assume that we don't know what we are doing. And that all items are misplaced exactly where we can find them. And everything is in a well-regulated and systematic state of confusion. So I look at that and try not to be that.
Well, that kind of almost describes Kathleen Jerozek,
yes,
doesn't it?
It does. I've had it since I was 12. I cannot part with it. And I hang it to remind myself that I will never get organized.
Don't stop being you, because I think it's amazing how we are who we are. We have our strengths, yet so many of us have learned to become great leaders of people and run great organizations. So I think almost described me in that quote. Amazing. Kathleen Jerozek, Expert Tech Auto Repair in Englewood, Florida. Thank you for being so transparent and sharing what's going on in your world.
Thank you, Carm. I appreciate the opportunity.
Wow, Kathleen, big changes made and looks like more to come. You've got some great goals you're working toward. Good luck with them. Find Kathleen Jerozek's extended bio and her shop profile at remarkableresults.biz/E320. And thank you for joining us and your support of the Aftermarket's premier podcast. Hey, there's a new student listen series on the website. It is designed for automotive students that are preparing or ready to join the aftermarket. They'll hear from technicians, shop owners, educators, and more. Now, currently there are more than 56 interviews in the series. Now, these podcast episodes will help prepare them for their new career in ways they never thought. Need to get in touch with me? Email is carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, talk soon. And remember, your learning curve never sounded so good.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.